Thank you for having me this morning. I'm just going to dive right into it because that's how Mark does it. The gospel, according to Mark, moves very quickly. In the first 29 verses of the gospel, and I'm talking about the first 29 verses of the first chapter of the gospel, he covers a lot of ground. He writes about John the Baptizer and his telling of the coming good news. He writes about Jesus's baptism. He writes about Jesus's 40 days in the wilderness. And then he tells about John the Baptizer's arrest, Jesus calling his first disciples, and then how Jesus heals the man who had an unclean spirit. All that unfolds in just 28 verses. All these accounts probably would have gotten a lot more screen time, or rather page time, if they were in perhaps Luke or John's gospel. But that's okay. Mark isn't worried about hitting a word count. Instead, he's writing with a sense of urgency. This urgency, this fast pace with which Mark presents the story of Jesus's ministry can be a gift, but it can also be a challenge to us as readers. Think, for example, if a coworker or a friend or a neighbor approaches us and starts talking a mile a minute. We'd have to interrupt them, to ask them to pause, to tell them, "Hey, I need you to slow down. I'm not sure I'm catching what you're saying." And we would make it clear to them that we want to be able to understand them. But in order to understand, something's got to slow down. And I'm probably going to have some questions for them, too. This challenge that we have, though, is that the writer of the gospel isn't here with us in person today. We can't pose our questions directly to him. Instead, we've got to figure out how to ask these questions of the text some other way. Maybe not just pulling context from thin air, but using what Mark has written, who Mark references, and allowing the words that are on the page to linger in our ears and in our hearts. And one of the ways that I like to do this with all sorts of texts, all sorts of passages from Scripture, to slow down is to be attentive to the way the physicality happens, the way movement, body movement happens in a passage of Scripture. So even though Mark moves quickly, there is so much movement happening, not just in our passage from this morning, but from the start of the book as well. And I want to hone in on the story of the mother-in-law specifically, to think about how this physical movement works. Perhaps if we were in acting class, we would get together and physically block this scene, but let's just do it in our minds, right? So the mother-in-law is sick in bed with a fever, and when Jesus comes to her, he reaches out his hand towards her and lifts her up out of bed. And as she's being lifted, she is healed. Her fever, gone. I know that each and every one of you know what it's like to be lifted up onto your feet. Perhaps you've been on the floor playing with a pet or a grandkid, a grandbaby maybe, or maybe you've had knee surgery or ankle surgery and you need help out of the chair for your first round of rehab. Maybe a little more painful than getting up off the floor with a pet or a loved one. But I know that you know what it's like to be on the receiving end of a hand to get onto your feet. You feel it in your body, right? You're sitting there, you're thinking, okay, yep, this could happen right now. I'm also fairly certain that you know what it's like to feel better after having a fever. We don't make it very far in human life without having a fever and then feeling better, right? Especially these days with the crud that's going around. But you're human. You know what it feels like to be so relieved when the fever breaks. And so you know these feelings that Mark is writing about, even if he gives them just a couple words. The feeling of being helped up, the feeling of a fever breaking. These are experiences that we almost all have. And even if we don't know what it's firsthand like to have been the mother-in-law of a disciple and for Jesus to be the one that's helping us up and healing us, we do know these feelings, and they can be our entry point into resonating, into connecting with this text that feels so distant. And as quickly as Mark is moving, as quickly as he's telling this story, he is trying to communicate something to us about this. Once she is healed, once she is up on her feet and the fever is gone, she feels well enough to serve. When we slow our reading down, we find footholds in familiar places, the human experience, perhaps. Then we can begin to see what the writer is trying to lead us to. The healing that Jesus brings is real. It enables us to share our love of God with those who are around us. We first received love and compassion from Christ, and now we can serve one another. And these physical feelings of being lifted up, of having a fever break, aren't the only things that we share with Mark. I think maybe many of us share a sense of urgency in many parts of our lives. Maybe we don't have such a honed, straightforward urgency that Mark has with proclaiming the gospel. Maybe we have urgency in other areas of our life. We know what it's like to be quick-paced, urgent people. Our lives are filled with so much forward motion. So much of our mental energy is thinking ahead. And I will admit, I have spent plenty of Sunday mornings in a pew thinking about what I'm going to buy in the grocery store that afternoon, or what needs to get done before a certain assignment was due, or this or that or this or that. Students and teachers know this. Students are thinking about what's going to happen before the end of the year, before end of year testing. Teachers are starting to think about how they're going to get through the second half of this year. Students are thinking about what they might take in the fall. For those of us in the church world, you might guess we're thinking about Lent, but we've already spent a lot of time thinking about Lent. But we're now thinking about summer as well, making plans for preaching series, VBS, continuing ed opportunities, camp. And I'm certain each of you could come up with your own list of things that keeps you feeling rushed, feeling like you have to move quickly, that maybe there's not enough time to do what you need to do. Maybe that if you slow down, things might turn out the way that you had hoped. And in these seasons of urgency, we finally often find ourselves getting caught up in the doing of the things rather than the reason for these things. We find ourselves moving a mile a minute to accomplish something, and in the quickness of it all, we lose track of why we're doing it, and what, and perhaps who, no, not perhaps, certainly who is sustaining us. In these moments of urgency and quick-paced life, we need someone to stop us, to slow us down, and help us recognize who we are, whose we are, and how and why we are called to live our lives. And so when we slowed down our reading of Mark's gospel, we saw that Mark moved quickly to get to the moment in which the mother-in-law is being of service to others, the moment that Jesus heals those who seek him out, and the moment where Jesus moves around the communities around Galilee to proclaim the gospel. Mark's urgency is a tool to communicate something about the living God, because he's had the time and he is in community to say, is this the right reason I'm being urgent? And so as we did with the message from Mark, where we were slowed down by looking at the physical bodily experiences in the lesson, we can also slow down our lives by paying attention to how we experience the world in our bodies. And there are probably many embodied experiences that are part of our life of faith that come to your mind, that remind you that we are children of God, and that we are part of the community of the body of Christ, that we are loved by God, and finally, that we are called by God to love and serve others. But there are two specific examples I want to think about this morning to focus on, because they are these top gifts that God gives to us for the lives that we lead. You know them. They are baptism and communion. And so as I start to bring some of our threads together by thinking about how baptism and communion, the sacraments, interrupt our busyness to make us slow down, to meet us where we are and in our fast-paced lives, in order to reorient and refresh us to share God's goodness for the sake of others. When we came into worship, we began with our confession and forgiveness. We confess our sins in the presence of God and one another. We make the sign of the cross on our bodies, and we do this to recall the sign of the cross that was made on our foreheads when we were baptized. Perhaps you were sprinkled, or maybe you were dunked, but you were also marked with the sign of the cross. And yes, it's true we're only baptized once, but we're constantly remembering the truth of baptism. We remember it when we make the sign of the cross over ourselves. We remember it when we walk by the baptismal font. Perhaps you have the habit of dipping your fingers in and making that sign when you walk by. And I want to invite you to also remember it when you feel any rain on your face, any water on your face, whether it be rain, washing your face, perhaps you were trying to drink a cup of water and got a little splashed on you. Anytime water touches your face, remember, you are a baptized child of God. And if we pay close attention, we notice and recall the way that God has claimed us as God's own. meeting us in our bodies and the way that we experience the world, to say, hey, you belong. The truth of baptism slows us down, interrupts our regularly scheduled programming, the regular scheduled programming that we have so carefully organized, to remind us that we are God's, and we are God's beloved children. It interrupts our busyness of going, 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 and reminds us of our belonging in this place, specifically, and in the body of Christ. So maybe we feel the water from the font, and if we pay attention, these physical sensations remind us of the truth of God with us. But each week we also come to the table to receive communion, something that we do specifically in the setting of our specific congregations, but something that also connects us globally with the entire body of Christ. Not just with all the other ELCA churches, but with all of our siblings in Christ. We come to the table and we taste the bread and we taste the wine. We feel the wafer in our hand. We taste these things that are very real and very tangible. And we feel God's presence. Communion fills us, it feeds us, it connects us. It's a meal that gives us a foretaste of the kingdom, and it sustains us for a life of faith. We don't just stay at the table after we receive the elements. We also walk back into our life of faith. If we pay attention when we come to the altar, and I invite you to think about this today as you receive communion, we'll notice the ways that God is present at the table. How we are fed with something that is familiar, but something that is also truly holy. The practice of communion, like remembering our baptism, slows us down. And as we receive bread and wine, God sustains us and sends us. There is, of course, so much more, so much more to say about communion and baptism, what it means that God gives us these wonderful gifts. But I want you to remember this. Baptism and communion are these physical, tangible gifts that interrupt our busyness of our daily lives. They bring us comfort. They bring us healing. They bring us belonging and love. And as they do so, they also reorient us outwards, beyond the walls of a sanctuary, towards the lives of service, because of the love of God. So yes, in our reading from Mark this morning, the author moves quickly. His urgency is focused, oriented towards the truth of God's love made known in Christ. He tells us of the time in which Jesus heals the mother-in-law, one of the disciples, with a gentle touch and an outstretched hand so that she may be well. The story is quick, but it is embodied. And once she is healed, she begins to serve those who are around her. We ourselves, too, live lives that are often rushed, but God reaches out to us with love and compassion, gentleness and healing. God interrupts our busyness with baptism and communion, showing us this love, meeting us where we are, with the physical and tangible expressions of grace. And so my prayer too is that we may be like the mother-in-law who have been made well, to be made well. That God's gift of love will be something that we receive with joy, and that then we share with all of those who we encounter. Thanks be to God. Amen.